2 Kings chapter 20. As we continue our study in the life of Hezekiah that we have entitled Hezekiah the Reformer. As we've already said, Hezekiah had fallen sick. Things were going well for Judah's king, religiously, politically, economically, and in many other ways. Under his leadership, the nation had turned from the worship of idols and turned to the worship once again of Jehovah, the only true God. He had seen God work and bring about a great revival and a glorious reformation to the nation. As well as this, he had seen the defeat of Sennacherib and his vast and powerful army. He was, for a season at least, bathing in the sunshine of peace and prosperity. But as we all know, these things can change, and change very quickly and suddenly. So it was with Hezekiah. For suddenly things changed, and the sun wasn't shining anymore, but it disappeared behind the dark clouds of trouble. And the trouble came in the form of a serious illness. Hezekiah had been laid aside with a serious sickness. He had been taken by a disease that would prove to be fatal, except the Lord was to intervene. But in the meantime, the sickness had confined him to his bed, and there he lay, a very sick man, with only a matter of hours, perhaps a few days to live, because the Lord had told him, "Set thine house in order." The Lord was giving him time enough to set his house in order. And the Lord said, "Because thou shalt die." And as though to emphasize it, he then said, "And not live." And so there was Hezekiah. He was about to die. And the Lord had told him that he would not live. And there Hezekiah, a young man, could suddenly see but a very short road ahead of him. A road that he would go down, it would only be a few steps down that road when he would be laid in the grave. It was then, having been given this news, that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. But how did he pray? I suppose he prayed as we would expect any man to pray. He had just been told that he was going to die and the grave was awaiting him. Indeed, we are told exactly how Judah's king did pray. Because we're told in verse 3, yes, he prayed unto the Lord, verse 3, "I beseech thee, O Lord." That's how he prayed. He besought the Lord. The word there means to pray with great agony of soul. He prayed as a man would when the issues of life and death were before him. My, when we come to dealing with the issues of life and death, if it is to be life or death, my, that's when we really get down to the business of praying. So it was with the psalmist. Psalm 116, verse 3, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell, of the grave, got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." Verse 4, Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. There was the psalmist. Sorrow had compassed him about. The grave was awaiting him. Then he prayed. And how did he pray? He prayed beseeching the Lord for deliverance. He was in agony of soul as he prayed. Once again, Jonah chapter 1, verse 14. "Wherefore the men, wherefore they cried unto the Lord," that is the mariners, "and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish." See, the issue was death or life. And then they prayed in this fashion, "We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." They cried unto the Lord, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee." That's how the mariners prayed. That's how David the psalmist prayed. That's how Hezekiah prayed. Dear child of God, when you think of it, when it comes to you and I praying, we are dealing with the same issues. We also are dealing with the matter of life, and we're dealing with the matter of death. We're dealing with our old life and death that will come to us. And as we noted last week, how we need to be up and doing for the Lord while we have life. Because the Lord has already said to you and me, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And that's true of every one of us. Every one of us will die and not live except the Lord come in the meantime. And so the issues are the same for you and me. And when we come to pray, and we gather around the throne of grace, we not only pray for ourselves, but we pray for others. We pray for those who are not saved. And there again, it's a matter of life or death. We're praying that the Lord will give them eternal life and save them from eternal death. And yet, when was the last time we besought the Lord, agonized in prayer as Hezekiah and David did? Oh, how we need to really get down to the business of praying and beseeching the Lord Souls are dying and perishing in their sins. And it's life they need. A life that only Christ can give. And with that kind of praying, as far as Hezekiah was concerned, also came the tears. Hezekiah prayed and wept. And how often we pray with dry eyes. And it was the last time we wept in prayer. So burdened were we that we agonized in prayer, and with our agonizing praying came the tears to our eyes. Nehemiah had seen what had happened to his beloved city of Jerusalem. And he went up one night to view the city after hearing what had happened to Jerusalem. And upon hearing the word, we read in Nehemiah 1 verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And here it is again, verse 5, "And said, I beseech thee, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandment. Let thine ear now be attentive." There you have Nehemiah beseeching the Lord, agonizing in prayer, and as he prayed, tears streamed down his cheeks. So it was with Hezekiah when he was told that he would die and not live. How we need to get down to the business of agonizing in prayer. Weeping over our own lives. And weeping over the souls of those that are not yet saved. So Hezekiah prayed. And Hezekiah wept as he prayed. We see then what resulted. What resulted from such praying? I want us to first of all consider the Lord and his pity for Hezekiah. For years the people of Judah had been worshipping the gods of the heathen. Under Hezekiah's father, they had set up an altar patterned upon an altar of a heathen god that was used to worship the heathen god. And the people had turned away from Jehovah and they were worshipping idols, gods that could not see, gods that could not hear, gods that could not feel. Because they were gods made by man himself, gods of wood and of stone. But all the while Hezekiah maintained his trust and faith in the God of Israel. One who was able to hear, one who was able to see, one who was able to feel. One who had feelings for his people. One who would hear the cry of his people. And this is evident from the words which the Lord spoke to Isaiah the prophet there in verses 4 and 5. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. The Lord took pity on Hezekiah. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. The Lord pitied Hezekiah. It is evident the Lord pitied Hezekiah and his plight, and as a result he healed him. Dear child of God, when you and I pray and agonize in prayer, and we come to the Lord, we bring our burdens to the Lord, and our problems to the Lord, and our sicknesses to the Lord, when we do so, always remember this: God pities us. We are not coming to a God who has a heart of stone. We are not coming to a God that we have to, as it were, twist his arm up his back to get him to look in our direction. No, we approach one who pities us. Pities us in our plight. Pities us in our hour of need. Pities us even in our sickness. How do I know? I know from what the Lord himself has said. In his own word. For there in Psalm 103, in verse 13, the psalmist has written, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Why? We're given the reason in the next verse. For, or because, he knoweth our frame, and remembereth that we are dust. He pities us because he knows our frame. He knows our makeup. He knows what we are physically as well as spiritually. And he remembers that we are dust. He remembers that we are weak. So when we come to the throne of grace, and when we pray, we can rest assured that the Lord not only sees us in our plight, but the Lord feels for us. He pities us. As Paul has told us in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we have such an high priest who is not untouched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He pities us. And how we need God to pity us, because we're so weak and helpless of ourselves. The Lord and his pity for Hezekiah. This is seen, first of all, in his message to Hezekiah. As he was weeping and praying in his bedchamber, the Lord had a message for his servant. There it is in verse 4. The word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again, tell Hezekiah. Here was the Lord's response to Hezekiah's praying and Hezekiah's weeping and Hezekiah's agonizing before God. Here was God's response. He had a word for Hezekiah. And the Lord responded to Hezekiah's great need because of his prayers and his tears. You know, some people wonder why in their times of trouble the Lord has not supplied their needs. It's very simple. Maybe it's because they haven't brought that need before God in prayer. God will respond to our prayers if we go to Him. We must go to Him with our prayers. We must in everything, with thanksgiving, bring our needs and our wants to the Lord. The question must be asked, has prayer been offered? Have tears been shed because God responds to such things? For the psalmist has said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Turn, please, to 1 Samuel. Here we have this truth illustrated again. 1 Samuel chapter 1, there in verse 10, we know the story well about Hannah. And she was deprived of children for a season, and she was heartbroken because she had no children. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Bitterness of soul doesn't mean she was bitter against the Lord. There was just a bitterness there in her own soul. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verse 19. They've gone up to worship, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of the Lord. The Lord responded. Hannah had prayed. Hannah was in bitterness of soul. Hannah had agonized in prayer. Hannah had wept in prayer. And we are told the Lord remembered Hannah. And when Samuel was born, she acknowledged, I name him Samuel because I have asked him of the Lord. And that is a simple truth and a simple fact. The Lord will respond and meet our needs if we ask. If we ask. Has He not told us that? Ask and you shall receive. And again, to every one that asketh, receiveth. There's the Lord's response, and then you have the Lord's readiness. His readiness to answer Hezekiah's prayer. We see here how soon the Lord answered Hezekiah's prayer after that prayer was offered. Hezekiah was still praying. The tears were still flowing down his cheeks when the word of the Lord came to the prophet. This reminds me of the words found in Isaiah, where the Lord said, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65, verse 24. And we see the Lord's readiness to answer Hezekiah's prayer when Isaiah had not even gone out into the city. He was still there in Hezekiah's palace. And before he went any further, the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, I have heard his prayer. I have seen his tears. That speaks to us of the readiness of God, his willingness. He's ready to answer our prayers. Now, sometimes the Lord doesn't answer prayer as quickly as that. Sometimes we have to keep on praying for that particular matter that we desire of the Lord. But it's not because the Lord is reluctant to answer our prayers that he keeps us waiting. There is no reluctance in his part. Remember, he pities his children. He pities us in our plight. No. The reason why the Lord has not answered our prayers immediately is because it's not the right time to answer. It's not because he's reluctant. Not at all. It's because it's not the right time. God will answer our prayers at the right time. So we have the message of the Lord for Hezekiah. Then we have the mercy of the Lord upon Hezekiah. The message Isaiah delivered was all about the Lord's mercy there in verse 5. And was this not what Hezekiah was pleading for? If you look at the prayer of Hezekiah, you'll notice that he didn't ask for his life to be prolonged. He didn't ask that. He simply said, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. That's what he prayed. He didn't ask to be saved from death. Rather, what was he asking for? He was asking that the Lord would have mercy on him. He was really saying, Lord, have mercy on me. For I have walked before thee in truth. I have served thee with all my heart. And all that I have done, I have sought to do good in thy sight. Have mercy on me. And the Lord had mercy. Instead of the Lord saying to Isaiah, yes, I remember Hezekiah's work. Yes, I remember his wholeheartedness. Yes, I remember his walk. Therefore, I'll heal him. Lord didn't say that. What the Lord said was, I have heard his prayer and I have seen his tears. In other words, the Lord raised up Hezekiah according to his mercy, not according to Hezekiah's merits. It was the Lord's mercy that saved Hezekiah from death. Not his merits, not his work, not his walk, not his wholeheartedness. It was the Lord's mercy. Turn with me, please, to Philippians 2. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 25. Here is the same truth again. We read there in verse 25 of Philippians 2, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Look at that verse 25. Epaphroditus was certainly a man sold out to God. Look at the work that he was doing and had done at that time. He was Paul's companion in labor. He was his fellow soldier. He was a messenger. He was a minister. Verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. Just like Hezekiah, he was sick, nigh unto death. Mark the next words. But God had mercy on him. There it is. God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Why did the Lord raise up Epaphroditus? It was because he had mercy on him. It wasn't so much because he was a Paul's fellow soldier or companion or messenger or minister. He was all those things. But the Lord raised up Epaphroditus, snatched him from the jaws of death because of his mercy. And he snatched Hezekiah from the jaws of death according to his mercy. The mercy of God saved Hezekiah. And when we're laid low, when we're laid on a bed of sickness, let us then cry with those dear souls of old, Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. Because you see, as already said, the Lord pities his children, and he's ready to show us mercy. Isaiah 54 and verse 10, there we read, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Praise the Lord. My kindness. The mountains shall depart, the hills will be removed, but I'll never remove my kindness from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Let us remember these things, believer, when we seek the Lord in prayer. We seek one who pities us, feels for us, feels what we feel, one who will have mercy upon us. We have the message and the mercy and then the miracle. The Lord had told Hezekiah, thou shalt die and not live. He was like Epaphroditus at the very door of death. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, tell Hezekiah, I have heard his prayer, I have seen his tears, I will heal him. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. If someone of us was lying at death's door and the doctor called in the family and said, you may come. He hasn't long to live. And then God was to put his hand upon us. And when our family came in to see us, there we were sitting up in bed, able to greet them with a smile on their face. What would we call that? We would call that a miracle. And God wrought a miracle in Hezekiah's life. And you think of Hezekiah. The chances of Hezekiah being raised to health again were almost zero. The odds, as it were stacked against him. But because it was Hezekiah's nature and it was his habit, as we pointed out this past couple of weeks, when Hezekiah prayed, he prayed because it was his habit to pray. And even though he was lying at death's door, he was at the gates of death. Or, as he put it himself, he was at the gates of the grave. But he prayed anyway. And dear child of God, it's never too late to pray. Never too late to pray. Because I'm sure you believe as I do. We believe in the God of miracles. I remember a lady who attended Dr. Paisley's church for many, many years, 10 or 30 years. 10, 20, 30 years. And at that time she began attending, she had lost her voice. For 30 years, she wasn't able to speak. Not utter one word. One Sabbath morning, at the communion service, suddenly, her tongue, as it were, was loosed, and she spoke for the first time in over 30 years. I would call that a miracle. Because the doctors had given up. There was nothing they could do. And believer, when the doctors have given up, God hasn't given up. When the doctors have given up, let us not give up. But let us continue in prayer. And pray even when it appears to us and to everyone around us the odds are against you. The odds are never against us while we have God as our Heavenly Father. The odds are for us. You must press on quickly, and you have the Lord's promises to Hezekiah. There in verses 5 and 6, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. In verse 6 as well, filled with promises. Here you have the generosity of the Lord. If you closely examine the prayer of Hezekiah, as already pointed out, he did not specifically ask the Lord to heal him. He just simply asked the Lord to remember him. To remember him, to have mercy on him. But look at what Hezekiah got in return. The Lord told him, I will heal him. The Lord told him that he would indeed go up to the house of the Lord on the third day. The Lord told him, I will add to his death 15 years. The Lord told him, I will deliver thee out of and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, the Lord told him, I will defend the city. My, that's the generosity of the Lord. Look how generous the Lord was to Hezekiah. You know, as I read through those verses, and I've read them many times, I was struck by a thought that Hezekiah invested in prayer. He invested in prayer. And look at the interest rate, as it were, that God gave him. He just asked the Lord, remember me. That's what he put into prayer. Just like going and putting money in a bank. This is what Hezekiah put into prayer. Lord, remember me. And what did he get in return? He got much more than what he asked for. It was like an investment. The Lord pays out a high rate of interest. Believer, when we invest in prayer, God, who is generous, pays out, as it were, a high rate of interest. Did he not say, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things? There's the high rate of interest. Great and mighty things. Have we not already quoted that verse in Luke 6 and verse 38? Where the Lord says, I will give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's a good investment, isn't it? Pressed down. That word pressed down actually means to press down with the foot. You can think of filling up the bag, and then you put your foot into the bag and press the corn down so you get more into it. And then he still puts more into it, and the bag overflows. That's a good investment. Why is it that so many Christians are so spiritually impoverished? Is it not because they don't invest very much in prayer? The Lord pays well. You have generosity and you have the grace of the Lord. Did you note there in verses 5 and 6 that the promises the Lord gave to Hezekiah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I will heal thee. There's one. On the third day I shall go up unto the house of the Lord. There's two. I will add unto thy death 15 years. There's three. I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. There's four. And I will defend the city for my own name's sake. For my servant David's sake. Verse 5. Speaking to us of grace. The Lord was gracious. Hezekiah, when he was told he would die and not live, would have, if he could have managed it, gone up to the house of the Lord as he had done before. But he wasn't able to. On this occasion, he had to turn his face to the wall and pray. But even though he was lying on a bed of sickness, that, except for the Lord's intervention, would have been his death bed. Even there, Hezekiah approached the throne of grace. He prayed before the throne of grace. We go to the throne of grace. We go boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's what Hezekiah did. And the Lord answered his prayer. And he answered prayer according to his grace. Is it any wonder we love to sing that hymn, Marvelous, Infinite, Matchless Grace? Grace freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? And there he found grace. There he was given grace. There his prayers were answered according to grace. And you have also in these words the greatness of the Lord. Generosity of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, and the greatness of the Lord. He was a death door, and God snatched him from the jaws of death. That's his greatness. He gave him another 15 years to his life. There's the greatness of God. Only God is able to do that. You know, Hezekiah holds a unique place in the Scriptures. He's the only man who was told exactly how long he was going to live. The only man. He was told he would be given another 15 years when he was 39. He knew that when he would come to be 54, that would be the end of his life. I'm sure he spent those 15 years well. I'm sure he redeemed the time. For as Job has said, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Hezekiah would get to 54. He would never see 55. Because the Lord set his bounds that he could not pass. And believer, that brings home to us again the need to redeem the time. We've only so long in this earth. We need to remember the words of the psalmist, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And finally you have the Lord's prescription for Hezekiah. Note the order. Take a lump of figs, as Isaiah said, verse 7. There's the order given. Take a lump of figs. Now the Lord has told Hezekiah was going to heal him. The Lord has told Hezekiah would add 15 years. And yet, an order was given. Take a lump of figs. It was to be placed upon the boil. You see, the Lord uses means to bring about healing. Sometimes he will heal individuals directly and answer the prayer. Doesn't always work that way. Other times we need to have medicine. Other times we need to go to the doctor. We must be given medicine. But I'm trusting the Lord to use the medicine to bring about my healing. So it is here. Just as Paul told Timothy, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Why didn't Paul heal him? It wasn't the Lord's will. He had to use medicine. The order and the obedience. The servants of Hezekiah placed the poultice, the figs, upon the boy. They didn't suggest to Hezekiah, oh, you don't have faith enough to believe the Lord's going to heal you. Do away with these figs. just believe. The Lord said he would heal Hezekiah, but the Lord also told Hezekiah, I'm going to use medicine to heal you in the form of these things. And the outcome, Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. There's the outcome. What a wonderful chapter this is. What a wonderful chapter this is in the life of Hezekiah. Teaches us, believer, the Lord pities his children. He knows how we feel. He's not hard-hearted. He's ready to respond if we ask. He's ready to answer. And also we learn from this, it's never, never too late to pray. Let's bow our heads now in prayer. Our God and our gracious Father, we come to Thee again in the Savior's name. We bless Thee, Lord, for the lesson that Thou hast for us in Thy Word. We pray that the Holy Ghost will now apply those lessons to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that when we are sick, when we are in trouble, when the odds of a recovery seem to be against us, help us, Lord, to remember Hezekiah. Help us, Lord, to make it our habit to pray no matter what. Lord, answer prayer. Bless everyone who is here today. Be with us now as we leave this place of worship. Lord, take us to our homes today with Thy good hand resting upon us. And in Thy will, return us to the Lord's house tonight again to meet with the Savior around His Word. We ask all these things in the Lord's name, and always for the Lord's glory. Amen.